This is the next section in chapter 7 that we're going to be going through. Last week we talked about judging, wrong judging and right judging, and we realized that there is biblical judging that followers of Christ are supposed to exercise, but we need to understand what that judging is. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. So the sermon title is Never Quit Praying, and I think that's very fitting and very encouraging, but it's also very convicting. I've given up praying for a number of things. In my extended family, I've prayed for certain relationships to get better and for certain things to take place in those relationships and those people's lives, but then gave up. They didn't happen right away, so I gave up. I quit. I quit praying. So this morning's passage is fitting for someone like me who is a quitter, and for some of us that quit before we even get started. But also it is very encouraging for us who do keep plowing along and plowing along in going to the Lord and in prayer. So why don't we do that as we look into this passage right now. Let's pray together. Father, we need your help. We don't do well on our own, not at all. Left on our own, we're sunk. Left on our own strength to pray and to remember to pray and to believe in you and trust in you, we're sunk. So Father, I ask that in this sermon from this morning, in your work of the Holy Spirit, that you would change us, you would draw us to yourself, you would open our eyes to your truth, and that we would be different, more Christ-like as a result of what you're doing this morning. So come, Father. Open our eyes to your truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So Jesus says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So ask, seek, knock. These are all words that describe prayer in the present tense, which means prayer is to be our way of doing life, going through a day with continuous prayer. Asking, seeking, knocking. Not just the half hour of prayer in the morning that we have in our devotional time, but always, always praying and praying. And notice, it's not a flat line way of praying. You know those heart monitors that they have in the hospital, they have that flat line? This way of praying isn't that flat line way of praying, but these words seem to point to an increase of intensity from asking to seeking to knocking, from assertive requests to aggressive pursuing to all out banging on the door. Do you see that here? Do you see that here? Ask, seek, knock. There's an intensity. It's not just asking, it's going and searching, going and knocking. It's like a child and a mom in their house, and the child is wondering, where's mom? She calls out to her, then goes looking for her. And if the mom is behind the door, the child will knock and knock and scream till mom opens the door. There is an increase in intensity of the child. There is a seriousness in the child. She's not just wondering where mom is. She's calling and then searching and then pounding. So we can take this as a call for us disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to end feeble praying. O Lord, I just. O God, would you just? No, no more. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Asking receives, seeking finds, knocking gets opened. You'll get if you ask, you'll find if you seek, ways will be open to you if you knock. This is assertive, continual prayer, not throwing in the towel and giving up, not letting difficulties or whatever shut you down in your praying. This is intense zeroing in on praying. It's like Jacob wrestling with God and not letting him go until God blessed him in Genesis chapter 32. I don't know how that all worked out, but he would not let go of the Lord until you bless me. You bless me before I let you go. It's like the mom in Matthew chapter 15 whose daughter was demon-possessed, and she persisted with Jesus to heal her. She didn't give up. She stayed. She stuck with him. It's like blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10 who didn't stop shouting out to Jesus at the side of the road until Jesus came to him and healed him. You know, Jacob and the mother and blind Bartimaeus, they didn't give up. They were determined to be healed, to be blessed by the Lord, and they persevered. This is what God wants us to do. Ephesians 6, verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Be persistent, constantly praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, there God says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop. This is a call to stop being weak prayers, right? Stop being weak prayers who give up. Don't do it. God doesn't want us to have shallow faith, but strong trust in him. So keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. This leads to answered prayer. This leads to results. God answers continued prayers. Asking, seeking, and knocking, it's not done in vain. It's not. So what should we be pursuing or seeking, asking for, knocking for? Sadly, some see this as a blank check that God is obligated to give us whatever we ask for. This passage has been wrongly used by prosperity theology speakers. They believe God wants all his children to be healthy and wealthy, and all you have to do is have enough faith and claim the thing that you want. This is the kind of message that comes from a lack of biblical wisdom and understanding. And this is the message you get from people like Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, Robert Schuller, T.D. Jakes. It's not biblical. It does not fit. You know, just look at John the Baptist. Look at John the Baptist, the forerunner to the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. So Christ has been promised back already in Genesis 3, verse 15. So he's promised. Everybody's anticipating him coming. And then here comes John the Baptist. He's the forerunner preparing the way for the Lord. And what happens to him? Arrested, thrown in prison, thrown in the dungeon, right? I bet you he prayed, Lord, can I get out of here, please? Get me out of this prison. But the Lord doesn't get him out of the prison. What happens to him? There's a party one day that the king has, and a girl dances for him so nicely, and he'd been drinking, so he's all impressed and says, I'll give you whatever you want. And she says, bring me the head of John the Baptist. And he does it. So here's John the Baptist, who is sitting in prison for so long, then with no trial, nothing fair about it, is executed. How does prosperity theology address that, deal with that? It can't, because it's false. It's not a case of name it and claim it if we want to think biblically. So what can be included for persistent asking and seeking and knocking? This passage doesn't identify exactly what is asked for or sought or what door is being knocked on. But the results are identified as good gifts from the Lord. So whatever we're asking for, God is responding with good according to him. They're his good gifts given to us. And thinking about what we ask for, from Scripture we can find that the Lord has made us for his glory, to be centered on him and focused on him, not on self, not on selfish stuff, but the glory of the Lord according to kingdom concerns. And that's what we are to be concerned about. And today's passage comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's talking about righteousness and humility and purity and love. So those are the things that we are to be asking for. Those are the things to be focused on. Plus, there are all of God's spiritual gifts that he has given to us that are listed in Romans and Hebrews and 1 Corinthians and Galatians. So it's all these kingdom things and concerns we should be asking for. Yet it doesn't exclude any of the day-to-day things. Scripture says, cast all your anxieties on the Lord, for he loves you. Jesus taught us to ask the Lord for our daily bread, daily needs. So what we can ask for and seek for and knock on is anything. Anything, everything and anything. But whatever it is we ask for, don't stop going for it. Don't try for a while and then give up. Keep praying, because verse 8, it doesn't sound so much like a perseverance passage, but a getting passage. Ask and it will be given to you, because everyone who asks receives. Seek and you will find, because the one who seeks finds. Knock and it will be open to you, because to the one who knocks it will be opened. Verses 9 through 11, they say the same thing, but put it in a different way. Here's what it says. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven will give good things to those who ask him? So here, Jesus adds a crucial and beautiful component to receiving from the Lord. A motivator for why we should persevere in our praying. And that is the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Loving sinful earthly fathers in general provide their children with what they need. They don't deceive their kids. They don't hold back or trick their children. They don't mock them by giving them something useless, or trick them by giving them something that looks like the real thing but isn't the real thing. You know, this passage brings up bread and fish, which were the common foods in that area of the Sea of Galilee. And the loaves of bread often looked like flat rocks, and the eel-like catfish that came from the Sea of Galilee looked like a snake. So no loving father, earthly father, would try to trick their kids with a stone or a snake. Biting into a rock would hurt the kid's teeth. Eating a snake would not only be gross, but would make them spiritually unclean, according to Leviticus 11. So earthly fathers, they provide physically and spiritually for the needs of their children. Parents love and sacrifice for their kids like no one else. There is no other human relationship as powerful as parent-child. And we have these built-in expectations of parents that they will care and provide and sacrifice for their children. Now, if us flawed, sinful, earthly parents can do this, can provide for our children, how much better and greater is the Heavenly Father's parental concern for his children? God knows all things. He is in all places. He is all powerful. He is completely holy. He will do infinitely more for his children than any parent ever could. And because that is who he is, his provision and gifts are always the best and are always what is best for us. So maybe, yeah, we ask for anything, but if we have this right understanding of who the Lord is, that will affect our asking and our seeking and our knocking. In that, as we persevere in praying, what we pray for changes and lines up more with His will, because we are changing. We are in this relationship with the Lord, in communion with Him, and we're growing in wanting what He wants, growing in asking and pursuing whatever we believe is right, but with eyes on Him, trusting Him, wanting to glorify Him, knowing He will answer correctly according to Himself. We will get that which we ask for, seek, knock, but it will probably change as we are praying and line up with God's will. It'll go from, "Lord, help Dixie be a better wife," to, "Lord, make me humble and serve the Lord." Do you get that? It changes as we are persevering in our prayer with the Lord, because we're with Him and we're in relationship with Him. And we will get what we ask for because God is so good. He is the Heavenly Father, greater than the best earthly father. So the confidence and the peace and the rest and the assurance and the faith and courage and risk and fearlessness of us worshipers of God can be over the top, because we have such a loving Heavenly Father. So Jesus' words here invite us to be persistent in our praying. The response we're getting is not, "No, stop asking," or, "You'll never find it," or, "Sorry, all the doors are closed." God's answer to our asking is, "Keep asking." His answer to our seeking is, "Keep seeking." His answer to our knocking is, "Keep knocking. Keep coming. Don't stop. Don't give up." God makes this promise to His children. Not all people, just His children. He promises that we will get what we ask and are searching for if we keep at it. So we don't give up. Loving earthly fathers provide well, but our Heavenly Father is a million times better and is a million times more capable of giving gifts. And His gifts are a million times better and more needed and perfect. Will we get whatever we ask for? Yes, but probably after our hearts are refined by God, our requests are refined by God, as we spend more time with Him in prayer. You know, I visited Helen Baker this week. She's 90 years old. She's been worshiping God forever. She's also going blind and has been for a number of years. And it's just getting worse. It's getting worse. Helen's praying has changed from "heal me" to "praise God, He takes care of me, and soon enough, I'll be in heaven and see perfectly." We'll get what we ask for, but the more time we spend with the Lord in prayer, what we ask for changes. So, I was trying to put this all together, asking, seeking, knocking, this increased intensity and refined requests, trying to walk through this passage as though I was having a conversation with the Lord. So this is one way that it could go. I am praying for my family, for Dixie, Eston, Elijah, and myself, that we would be blown away by the Lord's greatness and holiness. This is my prayer, that resulting in lives that enjoy and live for the Lord. And so I ask God for this. And He says, "Keep it coming. Keep asking. You'll get it. Keep it coming." So I keep asking, "Lord, open our eyes to Your astounding holiness. Let the distractions of the world be blown away by You." And by talking with the Lord about this regularly, I can't help but be thinking about this request regularly. It's on my mind. And I get more caught up in God's greatness. So I begin to search Scripture for descriptions of that He has given of Himself. And I'm seeking God's greatness and the life we have in Christ. And God says to me, keep coming, keep searching. You'll find how amazing I am. So keep asking and keep searching. And the more I'm asking for his greatness, the more I'm searching for his greatness, and the more I want it, and I lift my hands to the Lord and say, please, I've got to have more of you and less of me. My family needs more of you and less of themselves. Lord, bless us with eyes that see your glory. Breakthrough, Father. Come, Father, wake us up to you. And God says to me, keep it coming. Keep knocking. You'll get it. The intensity increases from asking to seeking to knocking. And as the intensity increases, my focus becomes more defined on God and not myself. My heart changes to wanting to glorify God and not myself. And I move away from just asking for earthly preservation things like health and wealth. And I pray for important things like, Lord, be glorified in my family, be glorified in my life, be glorified in my death. And with this seriousness in prayer, this intensity, I'm quicker to respond to whatever comes up in prayer. I realize my inability to do much of anything, and I grow in my dependence on the Heavenly Father who has zero limits. And I move away from feeble, flippant asking like, oh God, I just want you to. And I move away from that and into, bring down your glory on your church, O Holy God, so that we stand out for you in this self-worshiping world. Ask, seek, knock. When we commit to praying, our intensity increases. When we start praying, our intensity increases. When our intensity increases, so does our perseverance. And when intensity and perseverance increase, you start moving beyond praying, Jesus, give me a good day, thanks for food. If you found out that that's the way I spoke to Dixie every day, have a good day, Dixie, and thanks for supper, you would give me so much trouble because that's unacceptable to talk to my wife that way all the time. How much more unacceptable to speak to the Heavenly Father, the Holy God, in that way? Church, don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking, because your great Heavenly Father is going to give it to you, or has given it to you already, and you need to realize it. Or he's going to open your eyes to what's greater and what's better than what you initially asked for. Don't stop. Don't stop. Go hard. Go hard and ask, seek, and knock. Of course, we should be aware of what Scripture says about prayers not receiving a yes. You know, Psalm 66, verse 18 says that cherishing sin in your heart stops God from listening. Pay attention to that. James 4, verse 3 speaks of not receiving because we have the wrong motives. Pay attention to that. 1 John 5, verse 14 speaks of receiving what's according to God's will. We need to pay attention to this. You know, this was played out in Joseph's life in Genesis 37 to 50. Joseph had terrible hurt done to him, and he had horrific years of suffering. And I'm sure he was praying, but things came about in God's time, because God's plan was to save Israel through Joseph being in Egypt and bringing his family from famine into a place where there was food. God had the big picture in mind, but we had to be surrendered to God's will. Keep that in mind. We have to keep that in mind. We need to have these things in our hands, in our minds, as while we are continuing to ask and seek and knock. I have a closing quote that I want to read. It's a long one. We're going to have the worship team come up too. We're going to close with a response song. So as you guys come on up, I want to read this quote that I found It's a firm and an encouraging quote. It's a long one too, but because it's firm and it's encouraging, we might have certain responses that come to mind, like maybe self-defense or feeling bad or feeling self-righteous. But whatever it is, let this moment be one of humble openness, being encouraged and challenged to persevere in praying, okay? So here's the quote. Until we believe in the goodness of God and our adoption as sons in Jesus Christ, our prayers will not be prayers of faith, and such prayers would be ineffectual. But now that we understand why our Lord commands us to persevere in prayer and why our prayers will be answered, we should be more ready and willing to go to God to supply all our needs. We have no excuse whatsoever not to pray fervently and frequently. To not pray as we ought is a serious sin that needs to be repented of immediately. It is the height of foolishness not to seek God in prayer when He has commanded us to do so and has promised to answer our prayers. We need to appreciate this privilege and make daily set times of prayer a non-negotiable habit. We also should commune with God throughout the day and say little prayers as we walk or drive or sit at our desk. All of this is so simple and easy to understand that there is no excuse for us to neglect fervent, persistent prayer. Does your prayer life demonstrate that you believe in the goodness and love that God has for you? Are you so worldly that laziness and entertainments have cut into your prayer time? Are you so careless and unorganized that your prayer life is minimal and haphazard? Today, beloved, is the day to take this teaching seriously and repent. May God enable us to pray with full confidence that we shall be heard and blessed. Amen. Let's respond to God with this song, but let me pray for us first. So Lord, this is our prayer. We want to take prayer seriously. And Lord, there are so many times when we've given up and we don't get it, and we throw in the towel. And Lord, we want to stop that. We want to keep praying. We want what we're praying for to be changed by You and to line up with what You're saying. So Lord, we ask, we come to You with our hands open, with our hearts before You, and say, Lord, come and change us. We say, Lord, forgive us for quitting. Lord, help us to seek and to ask, to seek, to knock, to not give up, but to understand that You are a great Heavenly Father and all is in Your hands. So Lord, bring that conviction and that drive to hang on to You and place our faith in Your hands. Change us, Father. Don't let us stay the same. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.